This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
People will say we need to make sure that when this happens, that we go out and we protest, that we go and we march, and that people see the presence of the Muslims. Others, they will say we need to make sure that we spread awareness amongst our communities, that we spread awareness on social media, that we do this or that we do that. Fourth will say that we need to donate money, we need to support this and we need to support that. Lots of different suggestions that you have all heard at lots of different times. I wanted to bring it back a little bit and mention an equation that is defined for us in the Quran. And it is an equation that we must always place in front of our eyes. Because this equation is superior to everything that I've mentioned. And in fact, everything that I've mentioned, if this equation is not put into it, if this equation is not factored in, if this equation is not thought of with regards to everything that I've mentioned, then it will fail and none of it will work. And the equation is very simple. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِن يَنصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says, if Allah were to support you, then who will overpower you? And if Allah were to forsake you, then who will support you after Him? And upon Allah, let the believers rely. You see how important this is? When you go to a protest and you see that people are going there and their hearts are attached to the numbers of the individuals that are there. Not only that, that even in the protest they will be doing things that undoubtedly are things that Allah Azza wa Jalla does not love. Then who is their audience? And whose support are they more concerned with acquiring? The Muslim should always, always, always be most concerned with acquiring the support of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ says to Ibn Abbas in the famous hadith, he says, وَعَلَمَ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَن يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. The Prophet ﷺ teaches this lesson to this young man, Ibn Abbas. And Ibn Abbas in turn taught it to the Ummah, that if an entire Ummah were to gather to harm you, they would not harm you except with something that Allah Azza wa Jalla has already written for you. And if an entire Ummah were to gather to benefit you, they would not benefit you except with something that Allah Azza wa Jalla has already written for you. So the Prophet ﷺ says before that, he says, إِذَا سَأَلْتْ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهُ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتْ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek the help of anyone, seek the help of Allah. And if you were to ask anyone, then ask Allah. So I wanted to spend today speaking about, reminding myself and my brothers and sisters about one of the ways in which you can get the support of Allah. One of the ways you can make sure that Allah is on your side. And that is through istighfar. Istighfar. I know it sounds very basic, but we are in need of the basics. We're in need of the basics, always. Qatada rahimahullah, he says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ دَائِكُمْ وَدَوَائِكُمْ. This Qur'an addresses for you, it directs you to your ailment, and it directs you to your cure. فَأَمَّا دَاءُكُمْ فَالذُّنُوبُ وَأَمَّا دَوَاءُكُمْ فَالْإِسْتِغْفَارُ. As for the reason of your ailment, it is your sins. And as for your cure, it is in istighfar. Seeking Allah's forgiveness. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he tells us, to make istighfar our constant companion. في أعمالكم, at work. وفي طرقكم, in your commute. وفي مجالسكم, in your gatherings. When you're sitting down to eat. Always to make istighfar your companion. Why? Because none of you know متى تنزل المغفرة. You never know when the forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jalla will descend. People, they think that istighfar, when you make istighfar, that you are, you know, you're doing something, but the benefit of it is in the akhirah. That's the benefit of istighfar, right? I'm making istighfar now, So that inshallah on the Day of Judgment, I will be able to reap the benefit of it. I'll find that I had this sin and that sin and this sin and that sin, maybe a mountain of sins, but I'll also come with istighfar, and so on the Day of Judgment, that istighfar will benefit me. But that isn't the only time that istighfar benefits. Istighfar changes the trajectory of your life, this life, the one that you are living. Istighfar changes the trajectory of that life. A man came to Al-Hasan al-Basri and he said, my crops aren't growing, there's no rain. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he said to him, make istighfar. Another man comes and he says to Al-Hasan, I'm broke, have no work, I'm poor, can't find a job, can't find income. Al-Hasan al-Basri says to him, guess. He said, make istighfar. You guys are geniuses. A third person comes to Al-Hasan and he says to him, I can't have children. My wife and I, we haven't been able to conceive. Guess what Al-Hasan said to him? Allahu Akbar. Make istighfar. Now people who are witnessing all three of these, they're like, what just happened? Three completely different scenarios. You didn't tell them to do this or do that. You gave them all the exact same prescription. Al-Hasan, rahimahullah, he says to them, didn't you hear what Nuh alayhi salam says in the Quran? What did he say? Innahu kana ghaffar. I said, seek forgiveness from my Lord, from your Lord. Innahu kana ghaffar. Yursil as-sama'a alaykum. مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا. Nuh alayhi salam says to his people, I said to them, seek forgiveness from your Lord. What will happen? He is all forgiving, first of all. Second, يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا, he will make the rain pour down upon you. I tell my brothers and sisters in California, they have a drought, they've got a very severe drought. I'm like, don't you guys make istighfar there? You guys need to make istighfar there because there's a lot of sins in California. Right? There's a lot to be made istighfar for. Hollywood is guiding the whole world, right? So, يُرْسِلَ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. He will provide for you wealth and He will provide for you children. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. And He will make for you gardens and He will make for you rivers. And then He says, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. Why is it that you don't give Allah His due right? Why is it that when you need a job, you're so quick to go and ask 15 brothers, 15 sisters, you're able to go and walk and ask this imam and that imam, and you're able to ask this brother, hey, can you let me know if you've got any jobs available? You're willing to go and spend hours and hours and hours on LinkedIn and Monster.com and this website and that website, that you're able to go and try to network here and go to this staffing agency there, and you're able to go to do all of that work. But sit with yourself for a minute and seek Allah's forgiveness. Sit with yourself for a minute and pray to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because we say that we believe that if Allah Azza wa Jal says B, it will happen. And if Allah Azza wa Jal does not write it, then it is never going to happen. مَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبُكَ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئُكَ. That's what we believe. You know, the scholars, they say something very interesting with regards to the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah Azza wa Jal descends in the last third of every night. And He says three things. Who is seeking forgiveness from me that I may accept His forgiveness? And who is repenting to me that I may accept His repentance? And who is asking of me that I may grant Him what He wishes? And that is every single night. The scholars, they said, whoever says, you know, this hadith is narrated by over 40 companions. Over 40. So many people. What does that mean? When over 40 companions narrate the hadith, what do you think that means? Of course, it's authentic, right? Because all of the chains are. But when over 40 companions narrate something, how many times did the Prophet must have mentioned this? So many times. He's constantly telling them, told them so many times to do this, that Allah descends in the last third of every night. What does He want from them? What is He encouraging them to do? Huh? He's encouraging them to do what? To be asleep at 4:30 in the morning? To wake up, right? Be awake. at that point in time, because there's so much goodness happening. And so the scholars, they said that whoever says that he wants something, whoever says that he wants something, but cannot wake up in the early morning to ask it from Allah, then that must mean that they don't really want it. That must mean that they don't really want it. All of us, every single one of us has wants. Every single one of us has things that we desire. We have goals that we want to accomplish. We have things that we would like to protect ourselves from. We have all of these humoom. We have all of these concerns. The scholars say, wake up. Wake up at 4:30. Wake up a little bit before Fajr time. And sit with yourself and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla for all of these things. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. Why is it that you don't recognize that you don't give Allah His just amount? That you don't give Allah His just due? So, istighfar not only benefits you in the akhirah, but istighfar will change your life. Will change your life. The second, when we look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his constant istighfar, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they said that we would sit in a gathering with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in his silences, we would count his istighfar. When he's not talking, he's saying astaghfirullah wa tawbah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. They said we would count in one gathering that he would make istighfar over 100 times in one gathering. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the people, repent to Allah, because I repent to Allah in one day over 70 times. So if that's the case with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah azza wa jalla has already told him that his sins are forgiven, then what about you and I? Istighfar is something that we don't only do for sins. And this is also something that's very beautiful. You know, a lot of times people, they think about istighfar, that istighfar is something that you do for sins. I don't need to do it throughout the day, I do it after I sin. So when I sin and I remember, then I seek Allah's forgiveness for it. But when you look at the Sharia, something very interesting. What did you say right after you prayed Isha just now?
Astaghfirullah.
Astaghfirullah.
Right?
3 times. You said astaghfirullah. You said istighfar 3 times. Well, you just prayed. You just did one of the greatest qurbat that you can do. You prayed one of the 5 daily prayers, which is one of the most beloved actions that you can do for Allah Azza wa Jal, period. And you prayed it on time, and you prayed it in a house from the houses of Allah. What are you seeking Allah's forgiveness for? Greater than that. These hujjaj that we just welcomed back a few months ago, they went and they spent thousands of dollars. And they, some of them risked their lives. They risked disease. They risked difficulty. Great amount of difficulty. And they traveled. And they gave up money at work because they took vacation time. And they did all of these things so that they could go and fulfill the obligation of hajj. And they were patient. And they struggled. And they strived. And they stood on the mountain of Arafah, and they cried out to Allah Azza wa Jal with sincerity that they never were able to muster before in their lives. And Allah Azza wa Jal boasted to the angels about them. And even then, Allah Azza wa Jal says, ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. Allah tells them that when they leave the mountain of Arafah, and they leave that moment in which they are hoping that all of their sins have been forgiven, Allah Azza wa Jal tells them, then go forth from where the people have gone forth and seek Allah's forgiveness. Why are these people seeking Allah's forgiveness? Why are the pilgrims on such a blessed day seeking Allah's forgiveness? Not only that, but after the greatest act of worship that was ever presented by any human being from the children of Adam, the messengership of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's messengership, Allah azza wa jalla says at its conclusion, إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. Allah azza wa jalla says, you know, Ibn Abbas, the elder Sahaba, they complained to Umar, or they just asked him. They said, why is it that you put Abdullah ibn Abbas in our gatherings. When we have children who are his age, Ibn Abbas was in his late 20s, early 30s, and Umar radiallahu anhu would have Ibn Abbas in the inner circle of the elder Sahaba. And so some of the Sahaba, they said, you know, we have children that are his age, why is it that you bring him in? So Umar wanted to show them, radiallahu anhu. So he said to them, what do you guys say about إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ? One by one, he starts asking them. One of them says, the Prophet ﷺ is being told by Allah that when the conquest of Mecca happens, that he should seek Allah's forgiveness and have, you know, when the people have entered into Islam in groups, that he should seek Allah's forgiveness and that he should repent to him. The next person says pretty much the same thing. The next person says pretty much the same thing. He then finally gets to Abdullah ibn Abbas and says, oh Abdullah, what do you say, Ibn Abbas? What do you say about this verse? Ibn Abbas says, I see that this is the obituary of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ is being told that your lifespan is coming to an end. Why? He says, because at the end of all of our acts of worship, we are commanded to seek Allah's forgiveness. And so the messengership of the Prophet ﷺ is coming to a close. He is being told to ask Allah's forgiveness. And if the messengership of the Prophet ﷺ is finished, then the lifespan of the Prophet ﷺ will come to an end as well. Umar al-Khattab says to them, that's why he's here. That's why he's here. What's the relationship? Why do we seek Allah's forgiveness after we do good deeds? We seek Allah's forgiveness even after we do good deeds, not just when we do sins. Because the Isha prayer that you just prayed, was it what Allah Azza wa Jalla is deserving of? Yes or no?
Of course.
No? No? فِيهُ مِنَ التَّقْصِيرِ. Half the time you're thinking about where you parked your car, what happened with that. Even if you had a good focused prayer, it's not what Allah Azza wa Jalla is deserving of. That hajj that you just prayed with them, a little bit of rafath, a little bit of fusuq, a little bit of problems, there's a little bit of impurity in your wealth. Is that what Allah Azza wa Jalla is deserving of? Even if you were to do it as best as you can, is it perfect? And so we do these qurubat, and we seek Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness for our human deficiency in them. Recognizing that none of us will enter Jannah due to our deeds. It is due to the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, that He overlooks our deficiency. That He overlooks our deficiency. And so we seek Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness even for our good deeds, let alone our sins. Third is that we remind ourselves that a person should never despair from the mercy of Allah. And this is a great message that needs to be communicated constantly. There are so many people that are living on this earth and they feel that what they have done has put them in a place where they are no longer savable. So they are not deserving of mercy. They feel that they have been people who have committed such evil that they are no longer... I remember I met a brother who came to the masjid. This person was a non-Muslim. So he came to the masjid and he sat across from me at a desk and he had questions for me. And it wasn't two questions in until I realized that this person had gone to one of those answering Islam websites, had pulled up every question that they have, every shubha, every doubt that they have about Islam, and he was just reading them off to me in a list. And every time he would ask me a question, I would answer it as best as I could. And then he would give me a poker face. He wouldn't say, yes, okay, that makes sense. He wouldn't say, I understand. He wouldn't smile. Nothing to indicate that he was accepting what I was saying at all. Zero. He would just go on to the next one. Go on to the next one. And I'm just answering. So he asked me about apostasy. He asked me about the Prophet instead of marrying Aisha. He asked me about tattoos. He asked me about everything. And I'm just going and going and going. And then at the end, final question. What's the final question? He says, is it true that accepting Islam forgives all of your sins? And as soon as he said that, the person who's in front of me looked completely different. I no longer saw some person with like a stern face is coming to maybe debate or something like that. I saw a person who is weighted down by a lifetime of sins. He is burdened by a lifetime of mistakes. That's what the human experience is. We make a lot of mistakes. Some of them are intentional, some of them are not. Many of them are stupid. Many of them are consequences of our environment. Many of them are because of our own human deficiencies, our greed, our lust, our passion. All of that plays a part. And this person is living, carrying all of these things. And so in that moment, I recognize the hikmah that when a person accepts Islam, that this is their reward. And if there was any sort of monetary compensation for accepting Islam, it would not be as great as the reward of the forgiveness of sins. And it reminded me that Amr ibn al-As, when he extended his hand to give bay'ah to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he pulled his hand back. And he said, on a condition, O Messenger of Allah. He said, what's your condition? He said, my condition is that Allah Azza wa Jalla forgives all of my sins. He said to him, didn't you know, O Amr, that Islam erases everything that came between it? There is no reward that is more perfect for the person who is entering into Islam than that their sins be forgiven. And so this, yani imagine a person who does not know who Allah Azza wa Jalla is. They're spending their entire lives and they don't know that Allah Azza wa Jalla is forgiving. One of the greatest blessings that we have as the Muslim Ummah, we are the Ummah of Hamd. We are the Ummah of praise. And we are the Ummah of praise because we are the ones who praise Allah the most, but also because we are the ones who know the most about Allah, and so we know of Allah Azza wa Jalla's praiseworthy attributes. One of my teachers, my shuyukh, he had a class on al-asma' al-sifat. And one of the people who used to attend his class on al-asma' al-sifat of Allah Azza wa Jalla was a youth minister from a Christian church. He used to come and attend the class every week. And he said, I never heard God described in the way that you are describing Him. If you were to ask any average Christian, ask anyone, you were to ask them, describe God. Describe Him. They would say He's loving, they would say He's merciful, maybe they would say He's this or that. But they're rattling off things that are just, you know, just out there. You ask any Muslim kid, they don't need to know much. You ask them, describe Allah to me. All he has to do is say, He's Ar-Rahman, He's Ar-Rahim, He's Al-Malik, He's Al-Quddus, He's Al-Salam, He's Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir, Al-Ghaffar, Al-Qahhar. All of these names denote to us who Allah Azza wa Jalla is. All of these names carry attributes. All of these names tell us, describe to us who is the one that we worship. And this is an incredible blessing that we need to be grateful for. That you know who Allah Azza wa Jalla is. That you know that when you commit a sin, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim. He is the one who is forgiving. He is the one who is the most merciful. He is Al-Rahman. He is the one who is filled with mercy. That no matter what it is that you do in this life, that if you turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla in repentance, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will forgive you. The man kills 99 people. He kills 99 people. Who does that? 99 people. And then he says, فَهَلْ لِي مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. He wanted to repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so he goes to a abid. He goes to a worshipper, good brother. And he asks him, I've killed 99 people. Is there a way for Allah to forgive me? And he says, you've killed 99. I don't see any way for you to be forgiven. فَقَتَلَ فَأَتَمَّ بِهِ الْمِئَةِ. So he kills him. And he just shows you how easy killing is for this person now. You give him an answer that he doesn't like, he kills you. So he killed that guy. And he turned it into 100. Then he goes to a scholar. He goes to a person who knows Allah. And he says to him, I've killed 100. Is there repentance for me? And he says, and who can dare stand between you and the mercy of Allah? Who? But your people are a people of evil. And so he tells him what to do. He has to go and leave that environment. He has to go to another place and be amongst people who will help him worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. This man then goes and he begins to walk in that direction. He takes practical steps. He is sincere in his repentance. He's not somebody who just says, I want to be forgiven. Oh Allah, forgive me as I do. And I put myself in the exact same position to continue doing that sin. No, he goes. And he is migrating to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And in the way, he passes away. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us that he passes away at the halfway mark. And so the angels of mercy descend, and the angels of punishment descend, and they debate over him. The angels of mercy say, this person has killed 100 souls, he belongs to us. The angels of mercy say, this person was walking towards the forgiveness of Allah. This person was changed. This person was migrating to Allah. He belongs to us. And so they say, we are going to measure the distance. If he is closer to his origin, then he belongs to the angels of punishment. If he is closer to his destination, then he belongs to the angels of mercy. He ended up being closer to his place of origin. He belonged to the angels of punishment. That is where he died, closer to. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla caused for the ground to shift. Allah Azza wa Jalla caused for the ground to shift so that his body would be closer to his destination, and the angels of mercy took him. Look at what Allah Azza wa Jalla will do. Yani Allah could have caused him to pass away closer to his destination, but what is the lesson here? The lesson is that if you take a step towards Allah, Allah will do what? He will take multiple steps to you. If you walk to Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will raise to you. If you die on the path to Allah Azza wa Jalla, journeying to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah Azza wa Jalla will cause the ground to shift so that you could be with whom you love. This is who we worship. This is who Allah Azza wa Jalla is. We need to communicate that to people. Bashiru wa la tunaffiru, yassiru wa la tu'assiru. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, give people glad tidings. Don't give them tidings of that will repel them. You're always burdening them. Give them glad tidings. Yassiru wa la tu'assiru, make things easy and don't make them difficult. We're living in a society where people, they really, Muslims, I know one Shaykh was telling us that he went to an Islamic school and he asked them, how many of you feel that Allah Azza wa Jalla is angry with you? He said the majority of the kids, they all raise their hands. They feel that Allah Azza wa Jalla is angry with them. If these are kids who are 12, 13, 14 years old, they feel that maybe their parents are angry with them. But they shouldn't understand that they are somehow in a position where Allah Azza wa Jalla is consistently angry with them. That is the wrong message that's being communicated to these children then. They should know who Allah Azza wa Jalla is. They should know that if they raise their hands and ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive, that he will be forgiven. With sincerity. I'm not talking about, this is a disclaimer here too. I don't want you to get from this message that just means that a person just does whatever they want and they say, astaghfirullah, 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 that their sins are forgiven. No, the people who do that, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said that our istighfar is in need of istighfar. We need to seek Allah's forgiveness for the way that we seek Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness. A person is just saying astaghfirullah, 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 committing a sin, and he has huwa muhayya, everything is ready to commit that sin the next time again. A person has eaten the wealth of this person and has taken the inheritance of this person and has done all of these things, and he's sitting after salah saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. No, give these people back their rights. If you're really worried about Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness, then give people back their rights. Don't take the rights of people and then sit there and say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. No. Give people back what they are deserving of. That person will be a person who is repentant to Allah. And whoever repents to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah Azza wa Jalla will accept their repentance. This person, this killer of 99, he didn't just say astaghfirullah after killing 99. He took practical steps to change his situation, and so Allah Azza wa Jalla recognized the sincerity in him. Okay, so teaching people to never ever despair from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that when they commit sins, that they are in a position to be forgiven if they are sincere. There are a couple of examples that I want to mention and then I want to conclude. First example is an example of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Imam An-Nawawi is a very blessed individual. He died at a relatively young age, 30s. Some say he lived till 40, but no one says more than that. And yet, there's an indication that he was of the most sincere of people. Because when a person is sincere, Allah Azza wa Jalla puts barakah in their efforts. They do something, and Allah Azza wa Jalla just gives them tawfiq. He gives them tawfiq in what they write, what they do. And he gives them tawfiq with regards to the people's acceptance regarding it. So for example, a man came to Imam Malik, and he said to him that another man had written al-Muwatta. Imam Malik's famous book, he calls it al-Muwatta. Another man comes, and he writes the same title, al-Muwatta. I'm writing al-Muwatta too. Copycat. So Imam Malik, a person comes to him and he says to him, another person wrote al-Muwatta. So Imam Malik says, مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ يَبْقَى. He said, whatever is done that is for Allah, that is what's going to remain. And so you see the Muwatta of Imam Malik, how that's remained. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, the scholars, they say, it seems that he's one of the most sincere of the people, because everything that he did turned into gold. Everything that he did. There are many people who wrote the 40 hadith, a book called the 40 hadith, in many different fields, many different categories. Imam An-Nawawi references that. In his introduction to his 40, he says there are people who wrote 40 books, 40 hadith with regards to this, with regards to that, but I wanted to write 40 hadith with regards to all of Islam. That in and of itself is tawfiq, to have the idea to do that. And then to select the hadith that he selects, that's tawfiq. And then for the entire ummah to accept that collection, so that there's hardly a masjid that doesn't have it, there's hardly a house of a Muslim that doesn't have it, that is all tawfiq from Allah Azza wa Jal. So many people wrote books on al-adhkar. Imam An-Nawawi writes a book on al-adhkar, and it becomes a staple with regards to that topic. So many people wrote commentaries on Muslim. Imam An-Nawawi writes a commentary on Muslim. It becomes the staple. It becomes the reference with regards to Sahih Muslim. So many people wrote books on collections of a hadith. He writes a collection of hadith and he calls it Riyadh al-Saliheen. And every masjid has it. What is the secret of this individual that everything that he does is so widely accepted by the ummah? Not just one group from the ummah, not just one sect from the ummah, but the ummah. So, that is indicative of his sincerity. But, one of the things that I really appreciate about his books is that you'll find that the last chapter of every book that he writes is the chapter of istighfar. That's the final chapter. So when you look at his book Al-Adhkar, he has all of these adhkar throughout the book, and the last chapter is the chapter of istighfar. When you look at his Riyadh al-Saliheen, you find that the first book is the book of sincerity, and the last book is the book of istighfar. When you look at his 40 hadith, same formula. First hadith is the hadith of Umar al-Khattab about sincerity, and the last hadith is a very beautiful hadith, the hadith of Anas in al-Tirmidhi. Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, from what he narrates from his Lord, listen to this hadith. Ya ibn Adam, innaka ma da'awtani wa rajawtani ghafartu laka ala ma kana minka wa la ubali. Allah says, O son of Adam, as long as you call upon me and have hope in me, I will forgive you no matter what you have done, and I will not mind. Some people, they'll forgive you, but they will mind. They'll forgive you, but keep your face away from me. I forgive you, but don't talk to me again. I forgive you, but our relationship will never be the same again. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, I will forgive you, and I will not mind. Ya ibn Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك. O son of Adam, if your sins were to reach the sky, and then you sought forgiveness from me, I will forgive you. يا ابن آدم لو أنك أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, if you were to come to me with the earth's weight in sins, and then you met me on the day of judgment, not having committed shirk with me, I will meet you with what is equal to that of forgiveness. Who then would ever despair from being in a position where they can acquire the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla? We should never do that. We should consistently seek Allah's forgiveness. We should work hard to correct ourselves, to repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla, that we change our circumstances. Because part of despair from the mercy of Allah is to despair that Allah Azza wa Jalla can correct you. To despair that Allah Azza wa Jalla can change you. A person says, wallahi, I can't give this up. I just can't. I'm addicted to this. I've been doing this for 30 years. I've been doing it for 25 years. I can't change. I've been doing this for 40 years. I've been doing this for 10 years, for 5 years. I can't change. That in and of itself is a type of despair from the mercy of Allah. Because Allah Azza wa Jal can change you. Allah Azza wa Jal can correct you. Allah Azza wa Jal can lift you. But you need to take steps towards Allah. You need to take steps towards Allah. I conclude with a verse that I love dearly by a poet whose name was Abu Nawas. Abu Nawas wasn't a righteous man. He wasn't a righteous man. I mean, he was famous for his verses of on alcohol and wine. But he was a Muslim. He was a Muslim. And it was said that he was seen in a dream after he had passed away. And they had asked him, "What did your Lord do with you?" He said, "I was forgiven due to some verses that I had written and I had placed under my pillow." And the verses are very well known. He says, "Rabbi, in عَظَّمَ الذُّنُوبِ كَثْرَةً فَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ عَفْوَكَ أَعْظَمُ." Oh my Lord, if my sins are great because of their number, I know that your forgiveness is greater. رَبِّ أَدْعُوكَ كَمَا أَمَرْتَ تَضَرُّعًا فَإِنْ رَدَدْتَ يَدِي فَمَنْ ذَا يَرْحَمُ. Oh my Lord, I call upon you in subjugation and humility. If you were to reject my hand, who's going to have mercy on me? إِنْ كَانَ لَا يَرْجُوكَ إِلَّا مُحْسِنٌ فَمَنْ يَرْجُو الْمُسِيءُ الْمُجْرِمُ. If no one can have hope in you except for the good guys, the brothers here, mashallah, sisters here who pray Isha in the masjid, if they're the only ones who can have hope in Allah, then who can the criminal, the one who's spent their entire life screwing up and messing up, who can they have hope in? مَالِي وَسِيلَةٌ لَكَ إِلَّا الرَّجَاءُ وَجَمِيلُ عَفْوُكَ ثُمَّ إِنِّي مُسْلِمٌ. I have no path to you. I have no way to you except through your hope, your beautiful forgiveness, and the fact that I am a Muslim. And he knew who he was at the end of the day. He knew he had shortcomings, but he knew his relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And we hope that Allah Azza wa Jal forgave him due to that, and that he forgives us. In conclusion, I just want to sum up the points that I've mentioned. And that is that istighfar needs to become our constant companion in this life, because it will change our condition, and that we should be more concerned with how Allah Azza wa Jal views us than anything else. And we should be more concerned that Allah Azza wa Jal supports us in our lives and in our communities and as an ummah than anything else. And istighfar does not mean that you simply say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah while committing sins. But istighfar means that a person strives to change what is wrong in their lives and to rectify it, having trust that Allah Azza wa Jal is the most merciful of those who show mercy, and that He will facilitate and that He will assist them in changing their lives if they take steps that are closer to Him. And that we seek through that the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his constant seeking of forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal, knowing that Allah Azza wa Jal is the most forgiving, the most merciful. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide us to what is best, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us to hear the speech and to follow the best of it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.